Well, I know as you pull out your message guides that the first verse right there at the very top is from the Gospel of John. But tonight I'd actually like us to begin in another book before we get to the Gospel of John and head back to where we were this morning in the book of 2 Corinthians. So we're going to head to 2 Corinthians first, and then we'll get back to the Gospel of John. So turn your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We're not going to review every verse that we went through this morning, but I do want to look at verse 3 of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3 to begin, where Paul writes, "And I wrote this same unto you," referring to another letter, "lest when I came, I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all." And then he adds this phrase, "that my joy is the joy of you all." As I was preparing for my message this morning, the last phrase of that verse just jumped out at me. "My joy," Paul says, "is the joy of you all." And I had to do a little bit of digging to really figure out what he meant by that. "My joy is the joy of you all." What we see from this letter and all the letters really that Paul wrote is that one of his desires for the Corinthian church and all the other churches was for them to all experience joy, real joy, even his joy. And so when he said, "My joy is the joy of you all," what he meant was that whatever gave Paul joy is what would give them joy. Whatever gave Paul joy would also give them joy. So the question comes to mind, what gave Paul joy? What made him genuinely happy as a Christian? Well, when you look at the rest of Paul's letters, you discover that the things that brought Paul joy were primarily spiritual things, weren't they? They weren't material things. It wasn't a house or a car or a yacht that you could go on the Mediterranean on. It wasn't the material things. It wasn't even the personal things. He was not married. He did not have a family. He traveled to and fro. He didn't have a whole lot to call his own. And so the things that brought Paul true joy and happiness in his life as a Christian was spiritual things. An example of this, you don't need to turn there, is in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, where Paul wrote this to that church. He says, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." So for Paul, one of his greatest joys in life was to see the Christians that he had worked with for so long to really be unified and to have this like-minded fellowship with Christ. But you know, so often we have it the other way around, don't we? The things that cause us the greatest joy or cause us the greatest happiness are the things that are physical or material or even personal things. People, places, things. But again, ultimately, the things that gave Paul joy were spiritual things. I think he had it right. Because the things that brought Paul joy were the same things that brought God joy. And so we see the idea here is that what Paul said about his own joy can ultimately be applied to the Lord as well. When Paul says, "My joy is the joy of you all," think of Jesus himself saying that to you today. "My joy is your joy. What I delight in will be your delight. What rejoices my heart is what will rejoice your heart." We often talk about, and the Bible often describes how we are to rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. But how can we have that joy in the Lord? It's not just about the truth that we find in the Scriptures about Jesus. It's not just about the doctrine, but it is what actually delights Christ that will give us the greatest delight. So now we're going to head over to John chapter 15, because this is what I want to focus our attention on tonight, there in John chapter 15. And if you begin in verse 11, listen to what Jesus says. Thinking about what Paul said, "My joy is your joy." Now think about what Jesus says in John 15, 11. Jesus says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might be your joy," or "my joy might remain in you." And not only that, but that your joy might be full. Do you realize that God wants you to be joyful as a Christian? Jesus, when He saved you, wanted to fill you with true, lasting joy, real joy. And yet, how many of us can honestly say that we are living our lives with this kind of joy? The kind of joy that Jesus possesses. Instead, we often struggle through life with sadness, and sometimes it's appropriate to be sad. Sometimes we struggle with discouragement, and sometimes despair. And so we wonder, where is this joy? You know, people say that this is one of the most joyful seasons of life. You know, we have Thanksgiving, and then we have Christmas, and then we have New Year's, and the most wonderful time of the year. But there are some people that struggle during this time of year. And they wonder, where is this joy that people are talking about? Where is this joy that people are singing about? How many of us can honestly say that we're living our lives with that kind of joy, the joy that Jesus even had? Where is it? Well, as we apply the words of Paul to the joy of Jesus, I think we can find our answer tonight. When Paul said, "My joy is your joy," and when Jesus says, "My joy is your joy," what we learn is that which brings joy to Christ will bring joy to Christians. That which brings joy to Christ will bring joy to Christians. You want to have joy in your life? Then think about what makes God happy. Think about what gives God joy. And in the context of John chapter 15, Jesus explains to us what brings Him joy. We're going to look at four things that bring Him joy. There are others that we can derive from this passage. But the first thing that we see is that faith in the Lord brings joy. Faith in the Lord brings joy. Look at the first three verses of John 15. Familiar verses where Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." Then He adds, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." What we find in these first three verses is this is where true joy must start, right? It's a personal relationship with the Lord through faith in Him and His Word. In fact, just look at what God's Word can do for lost sinners like us. Verse 3, Jesus said, "Now ye are what? Clean. Now ye are clean and pure." Do you realize that is exactly what happens when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved? And that brings joy. Paul tells us in Ephesians 5:25 that Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Why? So that He might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, so that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having a spot, nor wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, doesn't that truth about the gospel give you joy? True joy. If you're a Christian today, doesn't that truth make you genuinely happy? That you who are a sinner are now clean before God? The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you from all sin, as John says in 1 John 1:7. You see, when you trust in the Lord, He forgives you, doesn't He? He forgives you of all of your trespasses and all of your sins against Him. He forgives you. He also frees you from the bondage of your own will and the bondage of your own sin. And that should give us joy. But remember what Paul said? "My joy is your joy." And we can apply that to Jesus. His joy is your joy. Doesn't the Lord Himself experience joy when a sinner is saved? Absolutely. Remember in Luke 15:7, Jesus Himself said, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner, a single sinner that repents, more than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." If Jesus experiences joy over someone trusting in Him and being saved, do you realize that that is where we will derive our joy from as well? Our own faith in Christ and others' faith in Christ will give us joy. Remember, that which brings joy to Christ will bring joy to Christians. Faith in the Lord is what brings you true joy. That's where it starts. There's a lot of people that struggle with depression. There's a lot of people that struggle with despair. There's a lot of people that struggle still in their sin, and they don't have to. Why? Because Jesus receives joy by people trusting in Him. And when you trust in Him, you receive that same joy. It's joy, real joy, full joy, lasting joy. But second, back in John 15, we also see that fellowship with the Lord brings joy. Fellowship with the Lord also brings joy. We continue on in verse 4. John 15, 4. Jesus says, "Abide in me and I in you." Now what is that? It's fellowship, isn't it? It's fellowship. Abide in me, remain in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. To have true joy, it starts with faith. But you know, this is how true joy can continue in the life of a Christian. True joy continues through fellowship with your Savior. Fellowship with Jesus Christ. This is what He describes as abiding in Him. Now, throughout His ministry, Jesus used natural objects to illustrate spiritual truths. We often like object lessons, don't we? We like to see visually things that Jesus is teaching, the Lord is teaching through His Word. Well, one of those figures was this of a grapevine. A grapevine to illustrate the relationship and the fellowship that can exist between He and His people. And just as a branch is connected to its vine, He says Christians are to abide in Christ, to remain in Christ, to remain in fellowship with Him. So how do you do that? How can you enjoy fellowship with Christ? Well, ultimately, just like the branch abides in the vine and depends on that vine for everything, a Christian, to enjoy fellowship with their Savior, must depend on the Lord and submit themselves to the Lord every single day of their lives. You can have fellowship with the Lord, and it's expressed in a couple of ways. We see this in John 15, 7. First, you can have fellowship with the Lord when you receive His Word. Do we truly believe that when we hear the Word of God, or when we read the Word of God, or when we study the Word of God, that we are actually having fellowship with the author of this Word? Fellowship with the Lord Jesus Himself? You can have fellowship with the Lord when you receive His Word. That's why in verse 7, Jesus says, "My words abide in you." You see, if His Word does not abide in you, you will never be able to experience the fullness of the Lord's joy. One of the reasons why there are many Christians who do lack this joy that God is talking about, that God wants you to have, is because they've separated themselves from the source of that joy. He says, "If my words abide in you." I pray that we all will experience what Jeremiah experienced when he wrote, "Thy words were found." He's praying to the Lord in Jeremiah 15, 16. "Thy words were found and I did eat them." He ate them up. Of course, it's a figurative expression, but he was eating them up. He wanted to hear every last word that God would give him. And then he adds, "And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." That is the value of the Word of God. It gives us joy because it tells us about the one who wants us to have that joy. And then he says, "For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." You can have fellowship with the Lord when you receive His Word, and that gives a Christian great joy. You can also have fellowship with the Lord when you request His will through prayer. Again, look at verse 7. Jesus says, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you," you fellowship through His Word, "ye shall ask what ye will." That's fellowship through prayer. "Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." There is no greater joy for a Christian to experience the fellowship of his Savior through the Word of God and through prayer. But doesn't the Lord Himself also experience the joy when there's that kind of fellowship with His people? So often we think that we're the only ones that benefit from that kind of relationship. But the truth is, God Himself derives joy, great joy, when we hear from Him and when we pray to Him. If you look over a few pages in John 17, remember this high priestly prayer of Christ. Jesus prays in John 17:20 to His Father, "For them also which shall believe on Me through their word, that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me." One of the things that Jesus wanted more than anything was for His people, His followers, to have genuine fellowship with each other and with them. It's fellowship with each other and fellowship with God. A special and sweet kind of fellowship. And that kind of fellowship undoubtedly brings Him joy. Think about the relationship that happened before there was anything that was created in this universe. Think about the fellowship that existed in eternity past with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. The Trinity enjoyed each other. And they enjoyed their communion and they enjoyed their fellowship. And then they created man to enjoy Him, to enjoy the one true God. And of course, because of our sin, we fell, and that relationship and that rejoicing was severed. But then through Christ, He says, "Come unto Me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you that rest." And so we enter into that new joy by faith, and then we continue that joy through fellowship with God. We enjoy fellowship with Him, and He enjoys fellowship with us. So when you find yourself struggling with the joy of the Lord in your heart, remember this. That which brings joy to Christ will bring joy to Christians. Jesus enjoys fellowship with you. And if that brings Him joy, that will bring you joy. But we also see that faithfulness to the Lord brings joy. Faith in the Lord, fellowship with the Lord, and then from verses 8 through 17, we see that faithfulness to the Lord brings joy as well. There's another reason why so many Christians do not enjoy the Lord. It's because they're not living faithfully in His power, through His grace, to Him. Look at verse 8. Jesus says, "Herein is My Father glorified, that ye bear what? Much fruit." To be glorified, certainly God is receiving praise, but I think that also implies that God is enjoying it. He enjoys when His people are fruitful. He enjoys when His people are faithful. "Herein is My Father glorified," He says, "that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be My disciples." He goes on in verse 9, "As the Father hath loved Me, so have I loved you." And then He gives some commands. "Continue ye in My love. If ye keep My commandments, ye shall abide in My love, even as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that My joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is My commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are My friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of My Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen Me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in My name, He may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." Jesus wants you to be joyful. Jesus wants you to have an abiding peace and happiness in your heart. And one of the keys to this joy is faithfulness and obedience to the Word of God. It's one of the keys. In 3 John verse 4, John says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that My children walk in truth." Now, if John could say that, don't you think Jesus also could say that about you? that Jesus also would have no greater joy than to know that His children are walking in the truth. Jesus rejoices when you are faithful to Him. Jesus rejoices when you are obedient to Him. Jesus rejoices when you seek to love one another even as He loves you. Even Proverbs 23 verse 24 tells us that the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. If you're a father, or even a mother for that matter, you know how much joy you receive when you see your children walking faithfully with the Lord and wanting to seek the Lord with their lives. It's a joyful thing. It's an encouraging thing. It's a blessing. But how much more so the Father in heaven, our spiritual Father, our heavenly Father. How much more can it be said that the Father of the righteous, those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ, not righteous on our own account, but righteous through Christ, how much more will the Father of us greatly rejoice? And he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. You see, when the children of the Lord walk in His truth, it brings joy to the Lord and it brings joy to our Father in heaven. Jesus loves to see you live faithfully. In fact, that's His greatest desire. He saved us so that He can sanctify us. He's given us everything necessary to walk with Him and grow in Him. He's given us the Word. He's given us prayer. He's given us the Spirit. He's given us the church. And yet, one of the reasons why so many Christians have lost their joy in the Lord is because they've forgotten this simple truth. There is happiness in holiness. There is happiness in holiness. The reason why there is unhappiness and very little joy in a Christian's life is because there's a lack of holiness. And if God receives joy from a faithful servant, do you realize that is what you will rejoice in as well? But we all know in our own experience that the pull of the world to sin is so strong, isn't it? John describes it as the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And, you know, it just kind of allures us to itself. And the world may even make promises of some level of excitement, some level of pleasure. But remember what Moses experienced? When he was there in Egypt, he had the choice. The choice to follow after the way of the Egyptians or follow after the Lord. And in Hebrews 11:25, it said that Moses chose to forsake the pleasures of sin because he knew that that pleasure would only last for a little season. There is some level of pleasure in sin because of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, but it only lasts for a season. It's not permanent. It won't last. But there is true joy and true happiness in holiness. And so when you're struggling with joy, you've got to say, God, have I been faithful to you? Have I been harboring some secret sin apart from you? We need to remember that that which brings joy to Christ is the only thing that will bring joy to Christians. And faithfulness to the Lord is what will bring you joy. And because we delight in Him, we will have that lasting joy. A fourth and final thing that will bring us joy is fruitfulness. Fruitfulness to the Lord also brings joy. We already read all throughout John 15 where Jesus talks about fruitfulness, right? Fruitfulness. Look at verse 2 again. Jesus says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." Jesus wants there to be fruitfulness in the life of His people. Look at verse 5. Jesus says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him," that fellowship that we talked about, "the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." Jesus wants there to be a fruitful faith in your life. And He says, "I'm the power and the source that will enable you to be fruitful." Look at verse 16. Jesus says again, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth" what? "Fruit. And that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." God delights in a fruitful Christian. God experiences joy in a fruitful servant. In fact, in verse 8, Jesus also says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. The Lord wants you to bear fruit. The Lord wants you to grow. The Lord enjoys it when His children grow. And so the Lord has provided all that we need in order to grow. So what should we do as Christians? Keep growing in the Lord. Use what He's given you. And keep growing in the Lord. Strengthen those things that remain. Keep bearing fruit. The fruit that is cultivated through the work and power of the Holy Spirit. What fruit is He talking about? Is there the fruit of soul winning? Sure. But ultimately, we know that the results belong to God. We may plant, others may water. God is the one who brings the increase. But this is the fruit, the spiritual fruit that He wants to grow. This is the fruit that must remain. The fruit of the Spirit that is love and joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. This is the fruit that gives God joy. This is the growth that brings glory to the Lord. In the Old Testament book of Haggai, it was the time for the people of God to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. But instead, they dwelled in their paneled houses, it says in Haggai. They were so busy building their own homes that they failed to build the house of God. But because the house of God lied in waste, it says, they did not experience any true and lasting joy. They felt like they had everything together. They had the nice houses, they had the nice chariots or whatever they would drive around. Everything was going well, but the house of God lay desolate. But listen to what the Lord told them. Listen to what the Lord told them through Haggai the prophet. He said to them, "Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house." Build the house. And then He says this, "And I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord." God delighted in the building, the rebuilding of this temple. Even though it wasn't as glorious as the former temple, even though it wasn't as rich and posh and beautiful as that former temple, yet God said, "Go to the mountain, bring wood, build the house, and I will take pleasure in it." And I believe when we apply this even to our own lives as Christians, the Lord continues to delight Himself and take pleasure in the building up of His house, which is His people, the church. The Bible says that our bodies even are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are not our own. God delights in seeing you grow. God delights in seeing the church built up. God delights in the fruit coming out of our life because we are walking step by step in the Spirit of God. So keep growing. Don't be discouraged if it feels like sometimes you take those, you know, two steps forward, but then three steps backward. Keep growing. Keep bearing His fruit. Keep growing in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And remember, that which brings joy to Christ is what will bring joy to Christians. You want to have joy? Then think about what delights the heart of God. Because what delights Him will delight you. Growth and fruitfulness will bring you joy because that is what delights the heart of God. Do you long for this kind of joy tonight? Then think about what brings joy to the Lord. There are other things that we can explore in the Bible, but remember, His joy is your joy. His joy is your joy. What brings Christ joy will bring you joy. So don't settle for anything less. Don't settle for that temporary happiness or that pleasure and sin that may last for just but a season. Don't settle for anything less than His joy, because that is the only joy that He promises that He will make it full in your heart. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You for the joy that Jesus Christ demonstrated even while He was here on earth. And I know, as a man of sorrows, that He was acquainted with grief, and there were many things that were oppressing His own righteous soul. But yet there was still within Him a deep abiding joy because of His fellowship with You, and ultimately, Lord, because of His people, the ones that You gave to Him. He rejoices in us. He rejoices in Christians. And so, Lord, I know that when we look at the joy of Jesus, He rejoiced when there were people who believed in Him. He rejoiced when He was able to have fellowship with these who were His sheep. He rejoiced when they were faithful to Him and they sought to obey Him and live according to His Word. Jesus enjoyed it when His servants and especially His disciples were faithful and fruitful. Oh, Father, help us to see that that which brings Christ joy is what will bring us joy as well. So, Father, I pray that we will be people full of faith, with a desire for true fellowship, that, Father, we might be faithful and fruitful Christians, because that is how we can have deep, abiding joy in our lives, a joy that no one can explain and that no one can take away. Help us, Lord, to have Your joy in our lives. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.